Hello and welcome to our podcast. Now we have a very interesting podcast today because I'm joined by Bishop Anthony Muheria, who's the Bishop of Kitui in Kenya. We're going to talk about the picture in Kenya, just get a feel for what's going on. Bishop, you're welcome. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing very well and I'm glad to be here with you.
Excellent. Well, let's just get a geographical marker. Can you tell me where Kitui is, for instance, in relation to the capital, Nairobi?
Yeah, most people know where Nairobi is, which is basically at the center of the country. And Kitui is about 200 kilometers due east of Nairobi. It is not very high in altitude. It's going towards the lowlands, an area of general scarcity. It's an arid area. So it's a place where we are facing several hardships in terms of water and rainfall. It is, our diocese is fairly large. It's about 30,000 square kilometers. That means quite a big, sizable jurisdiction. And in which, again, the church is quite active, I would say. We have been blessed with about 76 priests. And we are in a jurisdiction with 24 parishes, of which the parishes, each one have about 20 dependent churches. So it's not quite the same way we look at parishes in the UK as we have in Africa.
Well, you mentioned the challenges and we'll pick up on that. But yes, Let's just get a feel for the sort of religious makeup. Now, I read it was roughly a third of Kenyans are Catholic. Is that about right?
That's about right. Baptized Catholics will be just over a third, maybe up to 35%. Of course, we may have a number of them who are not practicing or may have joined other denominations, but that's about the proportion. In my diocese, would speak about a bit less than that, between 18% and 20% of our population are Catholic.
Now, obviously, there's roughly a 10% Muslim population. There's nearly, I believe, 50% Protestant denominations. How do either the different confessions or the different religions get on?
Yeah, actually the Muslim population is not so high. I would place it at just under 4%, actually. But we do have a lot of sects and denominations which have broken up from the major mainstream churches, Protestant churches. We have the wave of the evangelicals. So those constitute quite a large number of smaller groups, although as one unit, really, the Catholic Church is the biggest church or congregation, if you wish, in the country. Generally, there's a very good relationship amongst the Christian churches. There's a lot of ecumenical work, ecumenical positions, be it on the social front or even at times on the political front. There is quite a close understanding, and in fact, when it comes to issues ethical and the debate in the public fora, generally the voice comes together with all these ecumenical voices. The Muslim relationship has its difficulties, especially in the last few years, because of certain radical Muslim groups, especially proceeding in this moment from Somali, who have taken a militant position, and therefore that has badly influenced the relationship, in that there has been recently attacks on churches, including Catholic churches, by these militant Muslim groups. That's obviously a mix of both political and social issues. They're really not clearly Christian, Muslim, or religious conflict. However, the religious phenomena or religious aspect does come into the forefront as well.
Well, that's painted a good cultural picture and religious picture for us. Let's move back to those challenges that you mentioned at the start there. Now, Bishop Anthony, you're a guest of CAFOD, I believe, our development agency over here, just to share experiences and to sort of learn from one another. Tell me a little bit, I mean, because obviously Africa's a massive continent and Kenya's a big country. What are those challenges and realities that you specifically face in your country?
As you've said, Africa has got many challenges as a whole, and there is no doubt those challenges are cross-cutting through many countries. the challenges of education, literacy, the challenges of systems, as social systems, civic challenges of leadership, integrity and governance. All those are issues that are cross-cutting across many of the African countries. But there are more social and maybe more pertinent concerns that we believe can be addressed and hopefully with time even resolved or at least greatly improved. As you said, Kenya is very large. And I would say if you are one were to look broadly at the country, you see a mix of very many blessings in some of the areas where we do have very fertile and productive land, and as a consequence also even a good commercial front, and therefore some kind of well-being that is the people really are living seemingly in a very in a better lifestyle or standard of life. But even within that, across the country, we do notice a huge portion and proportion of poor people who are marginalized. Marginalized because of various situations which we may not be able to go through now, but what we may call the slums, that is the informal settlements that are a huge component of most of our towns. They may even constitute, for example, in Nairobi, as much as 40% of the population of the city. People living in pretty deplorable circumstances and situations. These, added on to that, displaced persons comes because of the rifts that may have been there in the past. And so there are quite a bit of these pockets even in these good places. Now, coming more specifically to Kitui, thanks God, we don't have any slums. Nevertheless, the major issues that stand out very strongly, water, scarcity of water. In Kitui, and in, I would say, at least of the 24 dioceses that we have in Kenya, we have 5 dioceses that are very hard hit. The arid dioceses, so they're hard hit in regards to water. And that means the availability of potable water, water that can be drunk, and water even for the basic needs is a problem. In Kitui, for example, the rivers flow maybe 1 month only in the year. That is basically for the 2 rainy seasons. They continue flowing perhaps for 2 weeks after the rain, maybe for 3 weeks after the rain. So there's a real serious issue there.
Agencies like CAFOD, through partners or otherwise, tend to have, you know, boots on the ground to actually alleviate as much as possible some of these situations. But that's a heck of a challenge if you've only got that tiny time window where there is water. How does the church sort of either raise it as an issue or do something about it?
On one hand, we try to raise it to the government and the institutions that have a responsibility. First responsibility. So our intervention and even the intervention in partnership with CAFOD or other agencies always are meant to supplement. Unfortunately, at times they end up being the core interventions in some of those issues, but that shouldn't be the case. So there is a awareness and the, what you may say, advocacy, that also we have to do a lot of that. So as church, we too advocate in various fora the need to address these issues. But we can't wait until they're addressed. We must do something even before they're addressed by those persons in government and other institutions. Now, the issue of water has, as a consequence, when there is no water, children spend more time going to look for water after school, so it affects their education. And the water, if the water is not good quality, then you have problems of illnesses, especially stomach illnesses, and that keeps the children out of school, and then they are weak, and then so it's connected with health, it's connected with education, and it's connected to general performance and even in the family. So it is a key. If you have to solve most of the social issues, you must address the water issue, and that's what we try to lobby for. It is one of the Millennium Goals. But perhaps those goals have remained a little above the eyesight of many of those in leadership. And we constantly have to lower it so that they can have it straight in front of their face that is something that must be addressed immediately. We hope and pray that both government and even with our small interventions, we can bring a bit of quality of life to so many of our wonderful people that we have in our place.
Tell me a little bit about the sort of vibrancy of the church. Tell me something that I might not know or the listeners may not know about the church in Kenya.
One of the things that comes across, even for me as a bishop, is a tremendous generosity of the poor people. Yes, we help them and we assist and we accompany them. But it is really amazing to see when they are challenged, people who barely have what they need to survive on, the response of generosity they have towards other needy people. Amongst these people, in times of famine and drought, I have made several appeals to assist other people who are suffering. And I've just remained amazed at the response of our people. They don't think they're doing a favor. They feel it's a duty of solidarity. And although they don't call it that, it is amazing that sense of communion that comes across. For me, it is always a wonderful opportunity to learn that the very poorest are perhaps the best teachers of generosity. They're very cheerful people. Our people love not only to be together, but to express themselves, say, externally in joy, even about our faith. And so our liturgy is generally a place of joy. And you see it, it's not just because we sing, which is one of the expressions of joy, and even dance, sway, but it's also about how the people express themselves within the liturgy and within the circumstances where we're meeting as a community. Very joyful and cheerful people. And hope. They have a tremendous hope. Always, even in face difficulty, in the face of difficulty, they always say, I'm sure God has something good in store for us. One of the cases I had was one a mother who had lost two of her daughters in an accident. And I was going to console her. And I was greatly moved when she told me and explained to me, oh, my children have been wedded. They were just about to wed. They were young girls preparing for their marriage. So we should celebrate their heavenly wedding today. We're not coming to bury them. We're coming to celebrate their wedding with God, their reception into heaven. So come on, let's share the meal as we know we're going to miss them, but we have accomplished our mission. The sense of hope of that woman just shook us off from the sympathy mode into understanding faith mode. She was weeping, of course, for the loss, but the opening to hope. There is no rain, long stretches of drought. They still plant. They know the rain may not be enough, but they still plant. The crops dry, it rains a little more, they still plant. They never say, oh no, this let's not plant this time because there'll be no rain. They always hope.
It's an amazing triumph of the human spirit, the God-given human spirit.
Yes.
Father, been very interesting to talk to you, but just to finish now, obviously not every Kenyan Catholic can travel to England and share the experiences in their country. So representing them, what would you finally like to leave us with?
What I'd like perhaps to say is experience of coming over here is an experience of the communion of the saints. Materialized is a feeling of oneness that really in the Catholic Church we're really one, and it's true, you feel it, you feel family. Where I've gone to celebrate Mass during these days, I feel not as a stranger, I feel as one. And I think that spirit is a spirit we have to nurture. We are different in temperaments, we are different in where we see and live our faith, but that cross-pollination is very good to really bring about the universal spirit of the church. Our joys, our way of expressing, and maybe also the way of seeing and living the faith here in the UK, in personally according to our temperament, that perhaps is more cerebral, thoughtful, and it's also something we must gain from your experience. So the communion of the saints, I think, is what I have learned and I'd like to live here. In fact, CAFWORD is much about that, hands together to help one another and in solidarity in the church in communion of the saints. Really, that's what we must work. And I thank you so much for the care and the prayers of the people here in the UK, the Catholics here. And we promise as well on our part to pray and to support one another in all means. Pray especially for the elections that are due to take place in Kenya, that we may have a peaceful moment and that God may be with us during this most important moment. Thank you very much.
Amen. Certainly a point for prayer there. Bishop Anthony, thank you ever so much for joining us this
morning.
Thank
you too.
And you can catch all our latest news, our features, our podcasts on catholicnews.org.uk.